to make a couple of announcements. The question period will begin in just about 3 or 4 minutes. A second microphone will be available, and you ask you to come to the podium microphone over on the wall there to ask your questions. The topic next week is energy superpower or pipeline poverty. That's the question, May 15th. The speaker is Kenneth Green. We'd like to remind you to vote in the by-election that's coming up on Monday, and the SACPA forum that has already taken place is available on the SACPA website. You can still hear what the speakers are saying. The video is slightly dark. I was looking in there to make sure it was on there, and it's but it is available. If you missed the forum, you could still hear what the candidates had to say. So exercise your privilege to vote on May 12th. Pardon? Or today? Today is an advance poll. Thank you. We have a suggestion box out in the lobby if you want to make use of that. So without any further ado, we'd invite Brian back to the microphone, and if he wants to finish off a couple of his thoughts on the economics of things that he didn't get a chance to finish, he could do that, and then we'll open up for questions. Keep your questions brief, no big long introductions, and we'll move this along. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I just wanted to make a few comments before the questions on the next election, because it's clear that the Progressive Conservatives are going through difficult time right now, and it's an open question whether or not a new leader will restore them to a position where they can expect to be the government, or at least a majority government. Wild Rose is certainly very strong right now. And I just want to make a couple of comments about the Wild Rose, because in my view, they are doing exactly what Alison Redford did before the last election, and that is pretending to be a moderate and socially progressive party. They are not. And after the election, if they were to be returned as the government, I think we would quickly find that out. So the question is, for me, how do we elect a significantly larger group of progressive MLAs to the Alberta legislature in the election that may come in 2016? And that's really one of the reasons why I chose this timing to step down as leader of the NDP, because I think that we're now about the only opposition party that has the organizational and financial capacity to take on the Wild Rose and the PCs in the next election. And I think that that will be enhanced by opening up the party to some broader discussions. Hopefully we'll have a contested leadership race that will attract some attention, some interest, and a new leader potentially can broaden the party's appeal in the next election. So the timing of the leadership, I think, from my point of view, is intended to take advantage of the opportunity that's been created by the fact that hundreds of thousands of Albertans voted for the Conservatives in the last election based on Alison Redford's progressive promises. Those people have been bitterly disappointed, and they are looking for a new home. So what we want to do is open up the NDP to those people and invite them to support us. Even people who may be in a long-standing Liberal or someone who's very interested in the Alberta Party or in the Greens, but to elect in the next legislature a strong enough group of progressive MLAs that can take on the Wild Rose if they form the government, or the PCs if their new leader succeeds in turning them around. So that was my concluding comment, and I'm happy to take questions.
I'd like to remind the questioners that they would please mention their name, even though the first one is rather well known in Lethbridge. Bridget?
Thank you. Yeah, Bridget Pastor, MLA Lethbridge East. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Welcome to Lethbridge. Actually, I hope that you'll bear with me for a moment, because I don't have a question. It isn't question period. But I just wanted to let you know that this is my standing clap for you that I missed in the House. The House stood up and recognized Brian's amazing work that he's done over the last 14 years, right, in the House?
Yes.
Yes, 14 yes. years in the House.
10 as leader.
And, yeah. And I just missed it, and so I thought, because you're here, I want everyone to know that this is my standing ovation to you and all the respect in the world. You know, you don't have to agree with people to respect them. And if there's anyone that's respected, not only for being the real person that he is, but also because he's probably one of the funniest guys in the House and can always get a chuckle no matter who we are. So, again, Brian, thank you for your service. And I know that we'll see you again. I know you're probably not going too far. But, again, ladies and gentlemen, this is really and truly a politician that we should all be proud of. So thanks, Brian.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. That's very nice. And I will continue as the MLA for Edmonton Highlands Norwood. The election is a couple of years away, and I'm giving careful consideration to whether or not I'll run for another term as MLA. So I'm just retiring as leader. I will still be biting the government's ankles in question period. So thank you for that.
Bev Mundell-Atherstone. Thanks, Brian, for being here. It's always scary when you tell us what has happened to Alberta since the Klein years. We've lived through it, but when you put it together in a half an hour, it just makes one shake with what's happening. Did you get to finish telling us everything you were going to tell us?
I did, yes.
Okay. At our table, people would like to know, with the numbers that are coming in, the polling numbers, of about 50% for Wildrose, 20 for the Conservatives, and then us, and then the Greens. How are we going to increase those numbers of the NDP so that we actually have a bigger say in the upcoming election campaign and then MLAs?
Well, there's lots of that, and certainly our organization and fundraising is on a level now that I think we can be competitive in a lot more parts of the province. It basically takes a lot of hard work, and our people here in Lethbridge have been doing work for years and years. I mean, I drive by on my way to a meeting and I see them out on the street with NDP signs waving about something, and I know that they've done lots and lots of work over many years. And I saw that first, when I went to speak at a fundraiser for Mark Sandilands in the last federal election, and the room was packed, and I was pleasantly surprised. Lots of people I'd never seen before, and then that's carried over then into Shannon's campaign in Lethbridge West. So we're very competitive in Lethbridge, and we're if the polls hold, we'll pick up a number of seats in Edmonton. Calgary's always been a challenge for us, but there's a good group of young, active people that are working in Calgary, and we have some hopes for that as well. We have a good group in Medicine Hat and in Red Deer as well. So I'm quite hopeful about that. I just want to caution one thing, because and it has to do with strategic voting. And people in Alberta are committed strategic voters, and I guess I've come to live with that. But people need to be careful, because in Lethbridge West and in at least two ridings in Edmonton, we were on track to win in the last election. Our polling was showing that we were slightly ahead. And then the PCs launched their big scare campaign about the Wild Rose. You remember the Lake of Fire and all of that stuff. And lots of people shifted their votes back to the PCs in order to stop the Wild Rose, but they did it in constituencies where the Wild Rose wasn't even a threat. So, for example, Edmonton Gold Bar, the Wild Rose ran a distant fourth, but people shifted their vote at the last minute to thinking they were going to stop the Wild Rose without checking to see what was going on in their own constituency. Because we don't really have one election. We have 87 separate elections when there's a provincial election. And each constituency is different. So I would just ask people to be careful because there may be no reason to vote for another party that you don't really want in order to stop some party that you think is even worse, if the party that's even worse isn't, doesn't have a chance in your riding. So that's just a voice of experience. So one of the ways we can get more New Democrats, Bev, is for people to vote New Democrat.
My name is Van Christou. Thank you, Brian, so much for a very clear and direct presentation. I was particularly pleased to hear in your presentation that the NDP party is well positioned financially for this next race. Can you give us some idea of how well positioned they are in relation to the oil patch, which will support the people that will prevent royalties from rising and prevent a flat tax from being changed?
How we're positioned to get money from the oil companies, is that what you're asking? Quite poorly, I think. We're not expecting any big checks soon. In fact, we actually have a policy of not accepting donations from publicly traded corporations. So we will not take their money. We do get a little bit of union money. It's nowhere near as much as the as big companies give to the Wild Rose and the Conservatives, but we have a very robust individual donations program and lots of very committed individual donors that support our party. We're professionalizing our fundraising operations as the federal NDP has done. If any of you have ever given the federal NDP your email address, you will know that.
Mark Sandylands, Brian. Thank you for mentioning me earlier this afternoon. I think what Van was asking is what you concluded by saying is about fundraising and how's it going. I read in a copy of Alberta Views, which the Globe and Mail kindly donated to me earlier this week, that the Conservative Party has a debt of over $900,000.
Yes.
I know that our debts are on target to be zero in a few months. Mm-hmm. Before I ask my question, I would like to make a pitch, because when a New Democrat gets near a mic, quite often they'll make a pitch. So if any of you in this room think it's worthwhile supporting the New Democratic Party, take out your checkbook and write a check for $200 to Lethbridge West NDP, Lethbridge East NDP, or Alberta NDP, and give it to Shannon.
Woo, yeah.
Or me. Or if you think
or me,
that,
you could give it to me.
Yeah. Or if you think that Cheryl Maheden would be a good choice to be the MP for Lethbridge Federal Riding. She'll be nominated 2 weeks from today, and you could write the check for $400. In each case, you'll get 75% of it back from the federal government on your income taxes next year if you do pay federal income tax or provincial income tax. So now my question, how is the $900,000 debt of the Conservative Party going to affect them? And there was some scuttlebutt about a secret fund that they had. Is this something that they can access and will help bail them out? What's the situation?
Well, I'm not deeply familiar with the internal financial affairs of the Progressive Conservative Party, but what we do know is that they passed a law when Peter Lougheed was the premier to control election spending, and it specifically prohibited the creation of these kinds of secret trust funds. But it didn't apply retroactively. And in the few days before they proclaimed the legislation, the PC set up such a fund and have basically had about $1 million in it. And that they've drawn that down from what I know. I think one of the reasons that Allison Redford was dispatched as their leader was that the fundraising, especially in corporate fundraising, had dried up. So they've been blasting through that fund very, very quickly to maintain their operations and so on. So I think the hope in that party is that the new leader will be able to start bringing in the money restore their war chest before they have to call an election. Does that cover it? By the way, if you know, Mark gave you that pitch, if you've never been to an NDP meeting before, now you know what it's like.
Hi, Brian. My name is John Warren. I'd like to ask you, with this first past the post election process that we have here, if two people vote for the Greens and two people vote for the Liberals and two people vote for the NDP and three people vote for the Conservatives, then the Conservatives get in. Why won't the three parties to the left of the Conservatives put their act together, get their act together, and either run one candidate in each, only one candidate in each riding, or why don't they just amalgamate all three parties? Maybe that's not practical, but why don't they do it on a strategic basis?
Well, we get that question a lot. And I think the answer is that it is very, very difficult and complicated to do what you're suggesting. These motions have been brought to the floor in our party and as well in the Liberal Party and have been defeated by the membership. So it's a huge task for the leader to expend all their political capital trying to move their party in towards this kind of arrangement. And what we've decided to do is simply focus all of our energy on electing as many people as possible in the next election. So I know that doesn't satisfy you and some others, but the fact is, and I'm not saying this out of unnecessary or unfair partisanship, I don't think, the fact of the matter is that of those parties, including the Alberta Party, we're pretty much the only one that's got a solid organization and financial capacity. The Liberal Party just had 53 of its constituency associations deregistered by the chief electoral officer because they failed to file. So the Liberal Party's in pretty rough shape. The Alberta Party is just trying to get itself organized. I guess what we're trying to do is appeal for people between now and the next election. Don't give up your beliefs. We don't, you know, if you're a longstanding member of another party, we're not asking you to quit your party and join our party, but just to lend us your support in the next election so that we have a solid group of MLAs in that house that can stand up to the Wild Rose.
Shannon Phillips. Just as to add on to that, in Lethbridge West, if I had received every vote that came that went to the Alberta Liberal Party, I still would have lost. Because the issue is not, are we talking to enough progressives? We already were doing that. The issue is, are we getting enough of that conservative universe to look at us and see us as a viable alternative? And that suggests a whole different other basket of strategies. And I would caution us when we're always looking at other progressive parties for the answer to our problems that actually the answer is to go out and talk to ordinary Albertans beyond party lines and talk to them about healthcare and their pocketbooks and so on. Brian, on that topic, can you? We took a couple of ideas into the election about specifically Lethbridge-specific ideas, our pitch to people in this city. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that and other things that you've brought up in the House, that the NDP has brought up in the House that haven't previously been brought up, and what the pitch is from our party. Like, why are we different than the others? And what is our offer for this area in particular?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's an important question. We've talked about a wide range of things. We certainly talk about the government's policy of renovating schools and their failure to deal with Galbraith School. We've certainly been raising the urban drilling issue in the legislature and outside the legislature. I've been down in Lethbridge several times talking about it. We've called for a ban on urban drilling altogether. In the last election, we talked about creating, I mentioned earlier, a $20 billion fund for renewable energy. That would include basically a renewable energy institute, much like a research institute, much like the Alberta Research Council, but focused specifically on those things. So that was a proposal we made in the last election, and we made the announcement in Lethbridge and said that if we formed the government, we would have it here. And it makes a lot of sense to have it in Lethbridge because it's proximity to major sources of wind power in its solar area. So Lethbridge made a lot of sense from that point of view. We need to do other things to help. Lethbridge is a major area of food processing, and there needs to be things done there to help that industry as well. I guess Lethbridge is also a city that is an academic city and has many government employees, so the question of maintaining funding for post-secondary and funding and maintaining our important public services is something else. So that also affects Lethbridge. Just on the what was your first point though?
Strategic voting.
I know what I wanted to say. Do you want to? Because it doesn't always work out the way you think. So, for example, in Edmonton Calder, where we have our MLA David Agin, who was elected in 2004 by a few hundred votes, with a fairly strong Liberal competitor, in the 2008 election, there was a much weaker Liberal campaign, and the Liberal vote dropped. I forget the number, but close to 1,000 votes. David actually had an increase in the number of votes in 2008, but and we were able to track this fairly clearly. Of the people that didn't vote Liberal in that election, 60% of them voted for the Conservatives, and David lost the seat narrowly. So it's not a simple 1 + 1 = 2 calculation when you're doing strategic voting, because not every Liberal voter, if they don't have a Liberal candidate to vote for, will vote for the NDP, and vice versa. Yes.
Hello. Thank you very much, Brian. My name is Frank Todd. I think there's still a lack, just a short sentence, of exemplifying and telling Albertans just how badly they've been lied to and stolen from. We're afraid to do that. When you're facing alligators, a slingshot is not worth a damn. Okay, we've lost. I had a CPA call recently from Medicine Ed. He said, we have lost over $450 billion in Alberta. Now, you were an example, not trying to be mean or downsizing us as labor people, okay? You told us exactly what Norway's got, what Alaska's got. You talked about their figure, but you didn't say that was on oil. We got $5.8 billion on oil, 09, 010, on gas, I mean, selling at $4 a gigajoule. We only got $2.8 billion on oil. You have to exemplify, tell Albertans, it's the oil that's got us in the hole, and you're looking at your own kids. We're giving away our children's and our grandchildren's money and not telling the public exactly how badly we're beaten. There may be the Information Bureau, little darling here, can tell us exactly how much money we're giving away annually on oil.
So, Frank, is that your question? You want to know what is the oil?
I asked the question.
It's a difference between what we're collecting on royalties and what we could collect on royalties.
Not on natural gas. We know that's it. We're now bailing out over $3 million barrels a day.
Yeah. I understand.
And still get nothing.
The difference is what we could collect, which is a movable target. You know, I mean, where do you want to set it? How high could you go without a collapse of investment and so on, which they're always trying to frighten people about.
What's their royalty rate?
It's all complicated. It depends on what kind of well. It is complicated as can be, sir. Yeah.
I've got the parts and all three years. They tell me exactly what we got.
Yeah.
And what the rate is.
Oh, I know what we.
Why is it complicated?
Okay. We can't hear you, Frank. Next question, please.
Mary Shillington. Thanks for being here, Brian. My concern is the apathy of people about voting and how many people don't actually go out and vote. Other countries, many people are very excited about the opportunity to vote, but Canadians and Albertans seem to be quite apathetic about it and have a negative attitude towards politicians. Mm-hmm. And the youth... the young new voters. We have two granddaughters who we've taken to vote for their first times at different times. And so what can we be doing to help people to accept the responsibility to go out and vote, mm-hmm. and get involved, inform themselves, and go out and vote? Because I'd like people to be informed as well.
Yep.
So what do we need to be doing as a party? And what do we need to do individually if we're not NDP supporters? What do we need to do to get people out to vote?
Well, it's a really good question. I think we want to encourage people to vote. If they're all going to vote the wrong way, I don't know. I'm sorry. I think it is important that we encourage people to be informed about politics and vote. I think that it's a good thing. I think one of the reasons in Alberta why we have had such a low voter turnout compared to other places is because people felt that it didn't make a difference, that the Progressive Conservative Party would be returned yet again with a large majority, and so what's the point? And I think that's changing. I think... I think the PC government probably has about a 25% chance of getting reelected in the next election, I think people will vote if they feel that it makes a difference. The other thing that discourages voter turnout, quite frankly, is when politicians lie to get elected, and we've seen quite a bit of that. So. Voter education, doing what you're doing, taking your granddaughters out to vote, I think that's a thing. It's one thing in my house. We're fairly liberal parents, but the one rule is you have to vote. And you have to vote for me.
We have time for two more quick questions. If you would state your name and the question.
Name is Graham Greenlee. Brian, I was just wondering who you think the next leader of the Alberta PCs will be.
I'm more interested in who's going to be the next leader of the Alberta New Democrats, quite frankly. We have got three great MLAs, and I've been David Agan, Rachel Notley, and Darren Billison. I've encouraged each one of them to run, and I'd like to see if we cannot find some others as well from outside the caucus. To throw their hat in the ring. So I'm quite excited about that. I don't really care who the next leader of the PC party is because it's not the leader, it's the party that's the problem.
Thank you. I'm Ivor Tanis from Picture Butte. Rest assured that all the Liberals have been re-registered as of last Monday.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about it. I didn't know that SAFPA had turned into a fundraising event, but you can also make out a check to the Liberals if you want to. And he forgot the little bow because he could also make a check out to the little bow. My question.
Right here.
Oh, you're welcome. We always got along fine on the one side of the table. I ran in the last election to do so. My question is, what's your position on proportional representation?
We support proportional representation.
Thank you. I do too.
We would actually like to see more voices. I would like to see Greens in the legislature. I think they'd bring a perspective there that they don't. The Alberta Party has a certain perspective as well. I think having all of those voices in the legislature benefits the province and benefits democracy. The only way to do that is to have proportional representation of some form because the parties are not represented in anything like their actual public support in the legislature. The governing party is well overrepresented, and other minority parties are underrepresented compared to their popular vote. Thanks very much.
We're out of time. Sorry, Bev. We've just gone off the air, so we'd like to conclude it. Thank you very much, Brian, and hope you'll come next week to hear about the poverty of the oil pipelines and so on with a speaker from Fraser, the Fraser Institute.